Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's an exciting weekend ahead. The first bit of silverware of 2024 is up for grabs this week. We've got Premier League previews ahead and, of course, EFL goodness as well. Mark, this is a busy week, it feels, ahead of us. Are you ready? Are you feeling mentally prepared?
Always ready, Jack. Born ready.
I enjoyed your WhatsApp messages on Wednesday evening. High performing people are eating greens and all of this stuff. What was your Wednesday order? It was from a man's meal.
Do you know what? I was speaking to Robbie Wilders, the tipster supremo on the racing desk in the office on Wednesday, and he was telling me about how much kale he'd been eating sort of that week. And yeah, that sort of got my belly rumbling. I was late in the office on Wednesday, late, like leaving. Wife was out. Yeah, I mean, it had takeaway written all over it. And so I went to the local Turkish restaurant for a doner meat and chips with burger sauce special. But it turned into great research for the pod that we're about to do, because they had a dodgy stream of Liverpool versus Luton on in the kebab. So I managed to watch a fair chunk of that. I was in no hurry for the doner to be cooked.
It's quite brash of them to just be, openly airing their illegal streams in a public restaurant, isn't it? I mean, I admire the kind of tenacity.
I don't know. Is it illegal? I don't know if it is illegal. I mean, they might have just had a big satellite dish. I mean, they weren't advertising it they weren't looking to bring people in on the back of it. I know that's where pubs got into trouble, didn't they? So, no, I think I'm all for it. I mean, next Saturday I might go to the kebab house to watch whatever 3 o'clock games that they've got on. I mean, kebab chips, they don't sell alcohol, unfortunately. But, that's dream Saturday, isn't it?
Well, it lured you in. Regardless, look, we'll be talking about all of the... There's been some midweek action. Manchester City have featured, Liverpool have featured. We'll get onto that throughout the show. Let's start with the big match of this week, Mark, and it is the EFL Cup final. It's Chelsea against Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool must be delighted with their preparation on the pitch. Of course, they've got injury concerns of their own, but having seen the highlights of that Liverpool-Luton match, it seemed like the most balmy atmosphere that Anfield has seen for quite some time. They're bubbling with anticipation.
Yeah, they are. Well, at the moment, they're still on for a quad, aren't they? So, I mean, it's there for them, really. The Man City dropping points, or obviously not in midweek, but on the Saturday, it meant that they are top of the table by right. That City had their games in hand and they were expected to go top. They're in the EFL Cup final, where they're 5-4 favourites to win in 90 minutes against Chelsea, who are around about 9-4. To win it in 90 minutes and, obviously to lift a trophy around about 8-13. They're favourites for the Europa League. FA Cup has opened up somewhat. I mean, Man City is still in it and you've got Chelsea, but a number of the other teams, including Arsenal and Spurs, have departed that competition. So, I mean, it would be a balmy atmosphere. They obviously came from behind on Wednesday night against Luton. Real shocker, I think, to concede that goal to Ogbeni, and then you start missing chances. Nunez and Salah are not there. I think there will have been some panic at halftime as to where kind of that game was going, and what a disappointment it will have been had they not managed to have beaten Luton. But the way that they kind of roared back in that second half, sort of fired out warning shots, I think, to everyone. I know it was only Luton, but they were in adversity, weren't they, at that stage, I think, given all their injuries. And it was a really important victory. So I'm not surprised they celebrated wildly. I'm sure Jamie Carragher was furious at Jurgen Klopp, pumping. He's doing fist pumps to all four corners of Anfield. But it was, this Liverpool team is overcoming a lot of problems at the moment. So many players out, and important players: Alisson, Alexander-Arnold, Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones, Nunez, Salah. They just keep rolling.
It can go either sort of one or two ways, can't it? That adversity can really fire up your fans and players alike, and it kind of creates this mob mentality, or it goes the other way and everything crumbles. You mentioned the prices. Let's just go over them again. At time of recording, Chelsea 2-1 to lift the cup in 90 minutes, 13-5 the draw, 5-4 Liverpool. We've mentioned all season, Mark, you in particular, that league form, or league position now for Chelsea is almost irrelevant at this stage, and it is kind of about cup competition. So it feels big, this, not only for Chelsea but Pochettino this weekend.
Yeah, I think it is a big one for Pochettino. I mean, you can sometimes overplay the importance. It's a cup final; they're always going to be key, and you want to win them. But I think for Pochettino, obviously, Premier League just hasn't gone well for them at all. He himself, to some people, wasn't able to get over the line in England, and therefore that's kind of against him. I mean, I tend to think that you should judge him on the fact of how far he took Southampton in sort of a short period of time, and then Tottenham in a longer spell, and just unlucky not to win a trophy. And the grand body of work was something really quite special, and I think that's how he sees it. But from the outside, not everybody will feel that way. And so for him to win a trophy so quickly will just quieten kind of those that are doubting him. There's also that Spurs connection. The Chelsea fans haven't sung his name yet. If you win a trophy, I think that just helps you along the line, and it would then be considered a successful season, I think, as far as kind of at least some people would consider it for Chelsea. If they don't win a trophy and they finish eighth or ninth in the Premier League, then Pochettino, if he stays, has got I would say probably not that long into next season to prove he's the right person for the job. If he can win against Liverpool, and a very good Liverpool team, even with their injuries, stops the Liverpool quad bid, maybe harms them just in terms of psychologically sort of Premier League. There's been this rivalry building up between Chelsea and Liverpool in recent years. They've played in so many big games, haven't they? Champions League semi-finals, going back to the Benitez and Mourinho, many, many domestic cup finals. There was the Gerrard slip when they were going for the title, Liverpool as well. So it does feel like these two teams have been on a collision course. And if Pochettino can get the win, I think that just buys him an awful amount of time and credit with the Chelsea fans.
I mean, these two teams only played, 3 weeks ago. Liverpool ran out 4-1 winners that night. Chelsea were awful. But in terms of the last couple of weeks, Mark, Chelsea's prep hasn't been too bad. 3-1 win against Aston Villa, got past Crystal Palace, I know, albeit late, and then a good point away to Manchester City. I mean, that's not too bad to be going into a final with.
It's not. No, I expected them to lose against Manchester City, and I suppose if Haaland takes his chances, maybe they will have lost. But there was certainly enough there, I think, to give them an outsider's chance of beating Liverpool. The front players looked dynamic. I think that Sterling obviously took his goal well. Nicholas Jackson, inconsistent, I think, is probably the best way to describe him at the moment in his play. He is still young and he's still learning about sort of that role as a striker or as the wide player, because he has played out wide and moving to a new club. So probably needs to give him time as well. But there were moments from him that I liked. I think Pochettino settled on a midfield that he's comfortable with Gallagher, who was sort of almost man-marking Rodri, wasn't he, against City. And then you had, obviously, you've got the two guys I'm struggling to remember just briefly, but Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo both cost about 100 million quid each. So they should be good, and they are. And I think we're starting to see that midfield come together. Question mark I've got against Chelsea, and for this game, is just the defence. And Liverpool absolutely, just ripped them to shreds at Anfield, destroyed them. I think there's definitely a debate to be had around Thiago Silva, 39, all the experience in the world, sort of won so many different trophies at so many different clubs. But they've had two of their better defensive performances, i.e. away to Aston Villa and away to Manchester City. He didn't play in either of them. And so just wonder whether the more youthful back four is the way to go against Liverpool.
With all of that being said, Mark, how do you see this final going?
I'm going to go for Liverpool. I'm slightly nervous because Nunez and Salah didn't play against Luton. How injured they are. Klopp was coy about their availability. He only wanted to talk about the Luton game and not the Chelsea one. But even without those two, and I know it was only Luton, they still managed to score four goals. And since the sort of turn of the calendar year, since we moved into 2024, Salah went away. Nunez wasn't always starting. Just scoring so many goals at the moment. Man City had 31 shots at the Etihad against Chelsea. And while they're dangerous, I just can't get that 4-1 sort of defeat out of my head at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. So I'll go for Liverpool to win. I would want one of Nunez or Salah to be starting. If both of them miss out, then maybe that does bring the draw into play over 90 minutes. But as long as one of them's there, I think they'll win.
Are you waiting on team news then to kind of pull the trigger on this?
Yeah, I think I'd rather take a sort of slightly shorter price.
Yeah.
And know that at least one of them's playing. But I don't know. I mean, neither injury sounded massively serious. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that at least one of them will be available. But if it is Gakpo, Elliot and sort of Luis Diaz as the front three, that is quite different to Diaz, Nunez and Salah, but, you know, with Jota out as well after his serious, really unfortunate injury. And can I just say, Curtis Jones, I was hoping he was going to get called up for the England squad. And, you know, I've been putting him up at big prices to make the Euro squad, playing well for the team that's top of the table. Feel like he would have been in Gareth Southgate's squad, just hoping that injury that he picked up against Brentford doesn't derail that. But I was certainly annoyed when I saw he went off injured.
Yeah, really unfortunate. That's the EFL Cup previewed for you. Let's get into the Premier League fixtures for this weekend.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Lots of Saturday 3 o'clock fixtures. I know Mark, as a traditionalist, will like this. We shall start with Aston Villa against Nottingham Forest. Mark, how do you see this one playing out?
I think that at the prices, I'd want to take on Aston Villa, and I'm going to go for Nottingham Forest or draw double chance. It's only 3 wins in 8 for Aston Villa in the Premier League. Forest this season, they've won away at Newcastle. They've won away at Chelsea. They've drawn at Wolves and Bournemouth, who are two teams that I think are on the up, aren't they? Certainly since the start of the campaign, been very competitive, even when they've lost in recent weeks. I'm thinking to the Arsenal game in particular, where it's weren't great for an hour, but then actually a one year started to get going. They've got good pace on the counter attack. Yeah, feels a sort of difficult and not easy game for Aston Villa. And, you know, the price has sort of got this one down as an absolute home banker. And I just want to see more than... It was a good win for Villa at Fulham, and Ollie Watkins got his, got his goals, and obviously, you know, very, very much suited to playing in that team. But just a bit better than twos on, I can definitely leave Villa alone.
OK, let's take a look at Brighton against Everton. 5-6 Brighton, 14-5 the draw, 16-5 Everton. It was a strange game on Monday night, wasn't it? Everton against Crystal Palace.
I can think of another word that begins with S that might describe that better, Jack.
For the purists out there, Mark, it was a bit of entertainment.
Was it?
I'm used to Championship football. You're becoming slightly snobbish, Mark.
No. I can find great joy in most football matches. I mean, just watching Everton booming up to absolutely nobody wasn't much fun. And Crystal Palace running around without, you know, too much quality. Let's be kind and say not too much in the way of quality in there. No, I thought it was an absolutely shocking game.
Well, one can only assume then that you're backing Brighton here.
I am, yeah. Absolutely. I think February's been sort of kinder to Brighton. Had the wins over Palace and Sheffield United. Making good progress in the FA Cup. Last minute loss at Tottenham, where they played reasonably well. And I think they probably deserved to lose that game, but it wasn't kind of, you know, wasn't a battering by any imagination. On another day, they definitely come away with something. Everton did have that remarkable win at the Amex last season, but it's no win in eight now in the Premier League for them, not scoring many goals. Now, I think it's a good opportunity for Brighton. You know, Brighton had their big problems when they had a lot of players injured and they were trying to, you know, compete in the Europa League and the Premier League. I think the three midweeks have done them a right favour recently.
Okay. If Mark's heading down to his local Turkish to watch at 3 o'clock, he's probably hoping that it's not Crystal Palace against Burnley on the screen when he gets his doner meat and chips. Palace 19 to 20, 5 to 2, the draw, 3 to 1, Burnley. How are you playing this?
Well, I really, a tricky game because I do think Glasner was in the stands, wasn't he, for the game against Everton. And I felt like we saw a change in formation and we saw a team that was looked like they were trying to impress their new manager. You can argue about the quality, but the effort was there. And I think there'll be a good atmosphere at Selhurst Park. You know, the fans have wanted a change for a while. We wish Roy Hodgson all the best, obviously not been too well recently. And yeah, the Palace fans still wanted a change and they've got the change. They've got their new modern manager. I think they'll be, you know, excited by what Glasner is looking to bring. He won't be able to do it immediately, but over time you will expect Palace, I think, to just have a more modern approach and play more attractive football. And I feel like this is a bad time, therefore, for Burnley to be going to Selhurst. But this is a Palace team that still, you know, likely to be missing Gaye, Eze, and Elise. I think there'd been a doubt over Eze's the most likely to return. But until I can be sure that they're back in the team, I can't sort of suggest tipping Crystal Palace to win a game of Premier League football at odds on, even against Burnley. So I'm going to go for Crystal Palace to win 1-0, which kind of plays into the fact that, you know, Burnley haven't got much up front, nor of Crystal Palace, but there is just that edge and that home advantage and the Glasner factor that can get them over the line. I think it is worth saying with Burnley that their last five defeats have been to Liverpool twice, Aston Villa, Man City and Arsenal, and they were knocked out of the FA Cup by Tottenham as well. So it's been a rough schedule for them, but clearly look like they're out of their depth in the Premier League.
Yeah, you've certainly not sold that one to me. Manchester United against Fulham. Let's take a look at this one. 8-15 United, 7-2 the draw, 19-4 Fulham. United quickly becoming one of the form sides in the country, Mark.
Form in terms of wins. And I think performances are still up and down, even in games. You know, made a flying start against Luton. Casemiro should have been sent off. I mean, how has he not been sent off for that sort of tackle when he's on a yellow card? And I also agree with Rob Edwards where, like, 4 minutes. I mean, in a Premier League where you're now getting 6, 7, 8 minutes regularly, no way was that 4 minutes of injury time. And Nana was taking up to a minute on his goal kicks. So I sensed that from United's point of view, they were holding on at times, but they also looked lively on the break. So still not a team that I can trust. And I think we might still get by the end of the season these games where you just go, oh, how have they lost that? Or they might go and sort of do something against a Man City. That just feels like Manchester United at the moment. With that in mind and the short prices that United are to win this game, I'm going to go for a Fulham or draw double chance. United have won 4 in a row. Not always been perfect in terms of the Premier League. That is 2 clean sheets in their last 12 Premier League games. So I think Fulham can get on the score sheet. And if you know that United have got to score 2 or 3 to win a game, I think that it just makes you nervous when you're taking short prices.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of evening games on Saturday. We'll start with the 5:30 kickoff. Bournemouth hosting Manchester City. 13-2 Bournemouth, 9-2 the draw, 4-11 Manchester City. And for the last few weeks, Mark, we've been saying, you know, we're at that time of the year. De Bruyne is back. Haaland's back in the fold. City have got a few more gears to go through. And it's certainly still looking that way. But it's just changed ever so slightly in the last week, isn't it? A point against Chelsea, edging past that in their last game. Maybe not as convincing as we first thought.
No, I think that's fair. Against Chelsea, definitely first half wasn't, I don't think, good enough as an overall performance from City. Second half, they really went at Chelsea. And had they got the winner, I don't think that anybody would have said, oh, that was unjust. Brentford, De Bruyne is so important. When he wasn't starting, and was it Oscar Bob was in the team, he just felt like, oh, you feel less confident about Man City. I think I mentioned this last week. When De Bruyne is not there, I just feel less confident about Manchester City. And I'm not saying that he kind of, you know, they're a one-man team or anything like that, but you just know he's going to do something special because he always does. Haaland hasn't come back firing on all cylinders yet, I think it's fair to say. He's missing a few chances. That's not going to last. You know, history says, you know, wherever he's been, he doesn't stay quiet for too long. Did get that one goal against Brentford. And I would also say Brentford are a horrible team to play against. I mean, they're almost like the new crazy gang, aren't they? They're quite direct. they're not afraid to bang it up to Tony. Long throws, put a lot of free kicks into the box. Kind of know the game, I suppose, from a professional point of view and how to run the clock down, defend in sort of numbers. They're quite a horrible team to play against if you don't get an early goal against them. So I think City will just take that win any which way they can and go on to a game against Bournemouth, who are set up much more, I would say, for Man City to beat them, if that makes sense. And after the game, Pep Guardiola will be telling you how great Iraola is and how he loves his football and, you know, what top manager he is. But this is a Bournemouth team that lost 6-1 at the Etihad. They lost 4-0 at home to Arsenal and Liverpool in the league. They lost 3-1 at Liverpool. So all of them four Premier League games against the top three, they went over 3.5 goals, never mind 2.5. But I'm going to go for Man City to win and over 2.5 goals. If you do want to take the bigger price, then maybe go for the 3.5. But City, he has been messing around that old Pep roulette with his team at the moment. So if they're absolute kind of, you know, all of the big guns are playing, then maybe go for the over 3.5. But at the moment, I'd rather go City in over 2.5.
Yeah, so much team news dependent at this time in the season. We've got an 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. It's Arsenal hosting Newcastle, 4-11 Arsenal, 17-4 the draw, 7-1 Newcastle. I suspect you enjoyed the midweek European Cup action, did you, Mark?
The Spurs.
There was a grin there. For the audio listeners, there was a grin. So anything he's about to say, take with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, I mean, I walked in this morning into the office and a couple of people go, oh, yeah, Arsenal, 94th minute. That's great. I said, well, do need Arsenal to win some games because the coefficient you want, obviously, 5 places for next season's Champions League. Arsenal's exit potentially would definitely impact on it, but I definitely don't want Arsenal to win the Champions League. I'd rather Tottenham missed out on Europe altogether. So, I think as far as that game went, strange one because Arsenal have been, you know, firing on all cylinders, haven't they? And didn't create masses. I mean, they're away from home in the Champions League. We've spoken before about the fact that you never underestimate home advantage in the Champions League. It is worth more than it is in sort of Premier League games. We haven't got away goals anymore. So I think the away teams are thinking, let's just get a draw and, you know, the job becomes a lot easier at home. There's no real desire to go and get that away goal. And then they were done very late on. I keep looking at the goal and wondering if Raya was to blame for it. I don't know. Oh, your sign.
Strange position. Well, just strange positioning, I thought. It was almost sort of lobbed, wasn't it? It was really, really peculiar.
It was a good description in the way that it sort of went over his head. Petr Cech was on Monday Night Football, wasn't he? Mondays ago, sort of really explaining about how a goalkeeper, you know, that decision you make of, you know, if you step forward, then you narrow the angle, but it obviously makes it difficult in other ways. It felt like maybe he was too far advanced, but it was still a good strike.
Great strike, regardless.
And you'd still imagine that Arsenal will be able to turn it around at the Emirates. I mean, this is a team that scored, you know, 21 goals in their last 5 Premier League games, and that's where I'm heading for a bet in this game against Newcastle, because I'm going for both teams to score an over 2.5 goals. It's copped in Newcastle's last 7 Premier League games, which coincidentally have all been over 3.5 goals. I mean, they used to be defensively kind of sound, didn't they, Newcastle? I mean, No chance at the moment. They're conceding way too many goals, but they have got a forward threat. Even with Isak and Callum Wilson have not been available. You know, Anthony Gordon, I think, does a good job when he plays through the middle. So I can see Newcastle scoring, but probably in defeat.
Okay. Just the one game on Sunday, of course, with that cup final as well. We'll take a look at Wolves against Sheffield United. 4-9 the home side, 15-4 the draw, 6-1 Sheffield United. I mean, I think when you're in a relegation battle, Mark, you just want to see your team in games. And Sheffield United aren't in games at the moment.
Red card doesn't help.
Horrible challenge as well.
Chris Wilder said afterwards about how it was a red card, but how, you know, football has changed.
Well, I mean, he's just
a red card 20 years ago.
It was horrible.
I think challenges like that should have more than a three-match ban.
I think with some of these nasty challenges, Mark, you can see how it's happened, and you can see, you know, football moves so quickly, doesn't it? And it's so easy to miss time challenges. For me, it didn't even look like there was an intention of making ball there.
No, I thought it was absolutely disgusting from Holgate. And like I say, yeah, I think he's lucky it's only sort of, you know, red. You can get a three-match ban for a lot less than that, can't you?
Yeah.
And I do wonder if there should be some kind of sort of scale. I'm sure that would then lead to accusations of bias, you know, what's a three, what's four. But it's just a horrible tackle against such a skill. You know, I just look at Holgate. He's obviously a good player because he's playing in Premier League, and you know to get that far, you've got to be one of the best players around in the country to play Premier League football. But you know, I just look and just think like Matoma is so much better than him, and you know to go and do that just is horrible, nasty, and shameful, really. Going to go for in this game, and it just feels like Sheffield United when they're on TV. Just lose 5-0 every time. And it's not the case, because I remember that game against West Ham recently where it didn't end that way. But I'm going to go for Wolves -1 on the Asian handicap. So you get your money back if Wolves win by only one goal. But your Sheffield United, they are just, I was joking a little bit earlier, but you know they can see too many goals. Even against Luton when they won, Luton had 75% possession in that game. I saw Wolves on Saturday against Tottenham. Felt like they deserved the win. It was on the counter attack, that second goal that they got, and Neto's just so dangerous when he's on the break. But in the first half, they were the better team and deserved to go in ahead, then defended well when sort of Tottenham started to put them under pressure. Obviously, Cunha's injury is a problem for them, but they got Huang, they got Neto, they got Sarabia, should be enough to win this game.
Yeah, tidy outfit, Wolves. Monday night football, it's West Ham against Brentford. 6-4 West Ham, 5-2 the draw, 7-4 Brentford. This was a game I looked at, Mark, and just found it really difficult to call.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, I agree. Okay. Because I think my natural reaction here is got to oppose West Ham. This is a team that's in shocking form. And then I sort of priced it up and I looked at the prices and actually, I'm going to go for West Ham draw no bet, because I think they should. You sort of referenced the prices there. I mean, sort of if you go across the, you just give like a general view. I think across like the industry, virtually pick and gain this West Ham and Brentford. And I mean, I think West Ham have to be favourites at home to Brentford. So I'm going to go for, like I say, West Ham draw no bet. This is a West Ham team that, they were absolutely thumped by Arsenal, and that was a, you know, just a, I think their fans just thought that was a disgusting performance and a disgusting effort. But you look at their home form, only Arsenal, Man City and then Everton are the kind of, I suppose, outlier in that, are the teams that have won at the London Stadium this season. Look at the Premier League table where West Ham are, and I've spoken before about the fact that they're overachieving compared to kind of their expected goals, and Pacatar makes a difference. So I know all of that, and I've been mentioning it in recent weeks as reasons to oppose West Ham or certainly not back them, but just feel like the price has gone too far now. So yeah, West Ham draw no bets with some nervousness and some trepidation because they're not playing well. But I just felt like they should have been favourites to beat Brentford at home.
Yeah, makes sense. That's your Premier League card, Mark. Let's talk to Dan Childs for all things EFL.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Well, it's all going the EFL at the moment to tell us what's going on. Dan Childs joins us from the Racing Post Sport Desk. Childsy, Huddersfield Town, talk to me about them at the moment, sort of hovering near the bottom of the Championship table. The times I've watched them this season, it's been far from inspiring, but things are on the move a little bit there at the moment.
Yeah, they're changing their style. I mean, it's whether that's a good time to do that now or not, you know, is open to debate, but John Worthington came in for Darren Moore, who was sacked. He was the interim for four games in charge, and they were much more attacking in those games. I'll mention about those stats in a minute. But and then Andre Brighton, writer, he's got his first game in charge. Another got third manager that they brought in from Germany. Obviously, Wagner's gone there before. Jan Stewart was another guy. They seem to have, you know, an area that they look to recruit managers from. And he's renowned for an attacking approach as well. I mean, you look at as you mentioned, Jack, under Darren Moore, they were very much didn't have a lot of possession, not a great deal of shots as well. Huddersfield, they were second lowest still now on the possession stats. I think they're a joint 18th at the moment on the shot stats as well. But there's been quite a change since John Worthington's come in, and maybe with an eye on the new Brighton writer coming in, maybe he's been encouraged to play more attacking. And they have been going for it. They've had 57 shots in the last four games. The average shot count in the last four games, 14.25 per game. Before that, it was 10.69. So it's a big, big change. They're starting to have a bit more possession as well. The game against Hull, they lost 2-1 last weekend. 48 possession they had, which might not sound a lot, but when it's a team that's sort of, you know, been operating in the sort of mid-30s, and Hull are like the fifth highest possession-based team in the league, it's quite a change to what's been going on. I mean, the shots, the Southampton game, they lost that 5-3. They actually won the shot count there away to Southampton 17-15 and were leading, you know, a couple of times in that game. Sheffield Wednesday, they've beaten 4-0. So there's been some positives there. Also, a couple of defeats as well, like losing against Hull and Southampton, as I've mentioned. But I just wonder where the strategy is there, because normally, you know, Warnock was in charge, wasn't he, at the end of last season. He was there to sort of tide them over, if you like, kept them up. And I just wonder where the strategy is, because you bring in Darren Moore, who's a cautious sort of counter-attacking style manager, decide that doesn't work. And then suddenly with sort of 15, 16 games to go, you change and go for a, you know, more of an attack-minded coach. They're in a perilous position, really. They're 2 points above the relegation zone. Clubs like QPR and Sheffield Wednesday are picking up wins. So you do fear that somebody's going to get dragged in. And irrespective of this style change, I think Huddersfield are going to be vulnerable.
I was going to mention that the kind of relegation battle in the Championship, Dan, because Rotherham probably too far adrift now, and again, throwing away goals for fun at Ipswich in the week. But anywhere up to about, I mean, 15th place in Birmingham, probably vulnerable. I mean, they're only 6 points off the drop, still with a long way to go. Who would you say most likely will say along with Rotherham to next season?
Plymouth, you feel that their home form will probably, they've dipped a bit recently, but you would think their home form's going to keep them out of trouble. Birmingham, who you mentioned, have picked up since Mowbray's gone in. I know he's got this health issue now at the moment, but they do seem to have improved since Mowbray's gone in. The two that are vulnerable, Huddersfield, who I've mentioned, and Millwall have been really, you know, on a nosedive. Now that they look like they're going for a change this week as well. You know, talk about Neil Harris. Looks like he's going to be coming in as their new manager. So it'd be interesting to see how that works out. I would guess that Neil Harris at Millwall might work better than Brighton Wrighter at Huddersfield, but who knows?
Okay, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating end to the finish down at the bottom of the Championship table. Let's get your selections for this weekend then, Dan, and we'll share. Where should we start?
Yeah, we'll start off in League One. We'll go with Lincoln, away to Port Vale. Lincoln had a, you know, started the season quite well, then had a dip when a few of their strikers, Tyler Walker and Ben House, got injured, and they had a bit of a sticky period. Now they've picked up again. Seven games undefeated. Lincoln, Ben House has come back to full fitness in the last few games. That's probably helping them as well. whether they can reach the playoffs or not, you know, they're 11 points off at the moment, but they've got nothing to lose. They'll give it a go and they'll certainly try and win this game at Port Vale. And given the form that they're in and the form that Port Vale are in, Darren Moore, who mentioned there, leaving Huddersfield, he's actually gone in at Port Vale, not had a great start. They were out of form, to be fair to him, before he went there. They've gone six games without a win, but they've lost the first two games under him. Threw away the lead twice in that when they lost 3-2 at Cheltenham last weekend, lost 2-0 at Reading in midweek. Looked like on the stats for that, Reading had doubled the shots, so it doesn't look like they've played fantastically well there. I think they're going to have a real struggle, Port Vale, now. They're third from bottom. I think they did have games in hand a while ago. Now those seem to be getting eaten up and they're still in the bottom four. So I think they're going to struggle to stay up and a great chance for Lincoln really to go there and pile on the misery.
Lincoln up first, two more to go. Who's next?
Yeah, we'll drop down to League Two. Doncaster, I fancy for a home win at a good price, about 15-8 at home to Wimbledon. Doncaster were kind of expected with some investment going in there and Grant McCann being the manager to push for the playoffs. Hasn't really happened. The transition was difficult. Had tons of injuries earlier in the season as well. But they just now, too late for them to get to the playoffs, but they have started to find a bit of form. Got 8 points from the last four games. Probably going to start pushing up towards the middle of the table. Certainly don't expect them to go down. And this revival that they've had, I think it's probably come at a difficult time for Wimbledon, whose playoff hopes have been dented recently. They've only got 1 point from the last three games. Ali Alhamadou was their top scorer. He went left for Ipswich at the end of January. That sort of removed a big threat of theirs. And they lost 1-0 at home to Crawley on Tuesday, perhaps showing their lack of cutting edge. So Doncaster to win this one.
Okay, Lincoln, Doncaster, who's the third and final pick?
Third and final, team that I've sort of bigged up a lot earlier in the season, Crawley from League Two, going to Accrington. I mean, the League Two playoff race, it's worth a mention, is just absolutely crazy. There's literally 2 points, I think, covering, I think it's over 10 or 11 teams from seventh down to sort of lower mid-table. And Accrington and Crawley are two of these teams. They're both 2 points off of seventh spot, which is occupied by Harrogate at the moment, who have actually got a negative goal difference. And it's just a bit of a bonkers sort of playoff race there in League Two. But out of these two teams, Crawley are in the better form. They've had won their last two games. That 1-0 win at Wimbledon that I mentioned on Tuesday was a good win for them. Got a few of their, got pretty much a fully fit squad at the moment, Crawley. So, you know, every chance they might, as I mentioned right at the start of the season, maybe have a dash and a chance of getting into them playoffs. And Accrington, at the moment, they're carrying a lot of injuries, have been for a few weeks. They drew 1-1 away to Colchester last weekend, but Brad Hills, who's on loan from Norwich, probably a player you'll be aware of, Jack, plan, he got sent off in that game. So, and that's apparently is a big blow to them. He's been a regular for them in the centre of their defence. So, another player down for injury here, Accrington. Crawley, I think, can take advantage. And draw no bet looks a good price to me.
Okay, so we've got Lincoln, Doncaster and Crawley, draw no bet. Dan, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Big thanks to Dan as always. Mark, time for your best bets ahead of this weekend's action. We shall start with a bet builder.
Yes, and I sort of feels rude to not go for the Carabao Cup final, given that's where most attention is going to be this weekend. And I'm going to go for Liverpool to win. I think that as long as one of Nunez or Salah is available, then odds against prices I'm happy to take. And they were odds against even before kind of news broke about Nunez and Salah. So I think as long as one of them's there, should be able to get sort of 11 to 10. So I'll go for Liverpool to win the game. Over 2.5 goals. Alisson being out is a problem for Liverpool. Kelleher, just not as good. Can't be as good. And they've got other injuries there. Matip, is on long-term. Trent Alexander-Arnold. So wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool conceded and Chelsea have got something about them in the final third. But in their own defensive sort of area of the pitch, just too many mistakes, too many opportunities given up. It conceded 4 to Liverpool in that last game. So expecting plenty of goals. And I'm going to go for Nunez to score. You know, the bet will be short and to just Liverpool to win over 2.5 goals if he's not available. That finish against Brentford was just outrageous. One of the best chips you will see. I still don't know how he had the temerity to try it. Never mind score it. We know he's a shooting machine. We've spoken about it before. His confidence is up. He's a really good player. I think I mean, there's a Premier League Golden Boot winner in waiting there for Nunez one season. And if he starts and can kind of put pressure on that Chelsea back four, I don't think they'll be able to handle him.
Yeah, he's certainly a menace, isn't he? That's the bet builder for this weekend. Comes in the League Cup final. A treble, Mark. Where are we looking here?
Yeah, Brighton to beat Everton. Everton did get that stunning success at the Amex last season on the counter-attack. I'm not even going to try and work out what happened there. Let's just look at the kind of the body of work over the last 18 months or so. I think Brighton, only sort of, was it 5 to 6, 17 to 20? Felt like a really fair price. To me, Man City to win and over 2.5 goals, I think this game just sets up perfectly for City against a Bournemouth team that will press them, will have a go, and will probably lose in a high-scoring game. And then Wolves to round it off by beating Sheffield United. Sheffield United look like they're going to be relegated. Wolves, I was impressed with them. I saw them firsthand at Tottenham last week, and I was impressed.
Okay, I think we've already spoken about it previously on the episode, Mark, but the nap for this weekend, what is it?
Yeah, I made Brighton reasonably shorter than the sort of 5 to 6 that they're going off to beat Everton. Everton, 3 goals in their last 6 in terms of the Premier League. They're just outside of set pieces. And I suppose you've got to sort of close your eyes on if Everton do get a corner or a free kick in those wide positions. But from open play, difficult to see where the Everton goals will come from. And you can't say that about Brighton. Some of their players are coming back. Their football and their fluidity is there. Off a free week again, and I think you'll see the best of Brighton until they have to get back in Europa League action.
Okay. No no Spurs this weekend, Mark. Do you feel lost without them?
Yeah, they were meant to be playing on Friday night away to Chelsea, so not to be. So, a very quiet weekend ahead, actually. Nothing planned. I'm one of them people that can sit on the sofa with no TV on, and just sit there and enjoy the peace and quiet. So I'll try to do that.
I thought you were going to say like sit there and read a book or something, but just sit there. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't say. Mickey Flanagan does a joke about it. It's not safe for work what he says in terms of the languages he uses. But yeah, doing nothing and just sitting there and sort of staring at the walls is one of my favourite pastimes. And yeah, I might have a little wander down to the kebab shop. Even if I just get a Diet Coke or something like that to see if they have got a 3 o'clock game on.
Are you on sort of like first name terms in there now, the Turkish?
Mate.
Really?
The problem is I've got probably like 3 different Turkishes that I go to. I've got like a in close vicinity. We've got like a high level one. Then you've got like a mid one. So like high level would be like the kind
like
of date payday. Night. It's more sort of date nighty type vibe to it. Then you've got like a middling one that you would have where it's, you know, like a decent sort of family takeaway or maybe just me and my wife. And then there's the kind of what I would call the down and dirty one where you go for the doner and enjoy it.
Excellent. Thoroughly enjoyed that, Mark. Big thanks to Dan Charles as well. Plenty more content over on the Racing Post Sport website. So head over there for all of your weekend previews. If you're following in on any of the selections, remember to do so responsibly. And we'll join you again next week for another episode of Mark Langland's Bets Club.